Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there! Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. It's a very important day of our lives, and we've got to keep that in our forefront, as always.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at civil rights, today we're going to be talking about rights for our parks, our environment. We're going to talk about having a good time, too. It is January 17th, 2022. Welcome to our fourth Big Blend Radio Happy Hour Anniversary Party. Now, this is the fourth happy hour. We just had our third Champagne Sunday. So quite frankly, I know that everybody's having a dry January, but we're not. But we're having a good time. So welcome. We are airing live from the studio of ceramic artist Andrea Fay. We are in Peachtree City, Georgia right now, just outside of Atlanta. This is the area where they filmed The Walking Dead. And mm-hmm. we kind of feel like that because it's cold. But
well,
it's happy hour, so we really are alive. Yeah.
But when you go downtown, you see them. They're still walking.
they just keep walking. The Energizer Bunny's behind them going, keep walking,
so
keep
weird,
walking.
Because they do.
Keep
People
going.
Are just like zombies there.
No. This is a beautiful area. Highly recommend people come out this way. They've got lakes and birds, and we had a wonderful time in a Sam's Lake Nature Preserve, a beautiful area. So check it out. If you get out to Georgia or if you're here, have a good time. It's beautiful. Today's show is part of this live broadcast series we're doing celebrating 25 years of Big Blend magazines in this country, 15 years of airing Big Blend Radio live from Blog Talk Radio. And we've had our ups and downs, and now we do Zoom and pre-recorded. We air daily now, but we wanted to get back to our roots with Blog Talk and do some live broadcasts and bring some of our favorite people back on the show that have been on the show over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also 10 years of us starting our Love Your Parks tour, which started out as Spirit of America tour, where we said, hey, let's really dedicate time to documenting parks and public lands, specifically national parks. Well, we started doing that, then we went on the road full-time, then we stopped, then we went back on. We still are on the road full-time, and we know we're over 500 parks now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's way, way over that, and we're still documenting, and we need to post them all, but we are way over, and the tour is now Love Your Parks Tour and incorporates all parks. I don't care if it's a pocket park or a national park. We cover them all because it all is important in regards to taking care of our public lands and not having dead zones in between homes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we
right.
need it. During COVID, we knew, hey, we want to go take a walk outside, and our community parks are so important. So all parks are important, and we have some amazing guests joining us on today's show. We're going to get in the Big Blend party bus. Priscilla, our pink sock monkey, travel mascot for the tour, is driving and cooking and pouring because she's multi-talented. Because she's
mm-hmm.
a Big Blend girl. She can do anything she wants. That's it. Nancy, are you ready to get in the bus?
Sure.
It's
and
cold
I just
out.
Want you to know that Priscilla wants to run for president.
Oh, again. Well, she would be all right, you know. She can do whatever she wants, as far as I'm concerned. And she's a naughty little monkey, though, so some of her past may come out, you know, in the
I
election
know.
Time. Like, yeah, you know. Mm. So I don't know if she'll really make it, but she's doing really good right now. And she's going to start us off. So right now we're in Peachtree City. We're going to go pick up our guests. We have Mike Dunmire, who's been on our shows through Ocean Champions and now is an offshore wind energy specialist with U.S. Wind. We're going to go up to Maryland to see him. Then we're going to go across to Chicago area, Illinois. Ooh, well, you know it's cold. And we're going to pick up Jody Cantor from Wanderlust Mark. She's got all the gear for National Park Junkies like we are. Awesome T-shirts, do-rags, everything for people traveling to national parks.
That's cool.
Then we're heading home where base is, Tucson, Arizona, where our storage unit is. And our friend Eva Eldridge, who's an amazing writer, takes our mail, sends it to us once in a while. We don't really have that much, I don't think. I don't know. But she does get it. And our friend Michael will be on the show. Michael, you know, Michael and Spider have done all the music of our shows, and we've been talking with Michael since 2008 when he first came on the show with his album, Iridescent Garden, with him and Spider. Spider has since passed, and he's going to be telling us about a lawsuit that happened, and we're going to talk about that. And also Mark Navarro, Spider's boyfriend, will be on the show again. He's an amazing photographer. He's had his art on the front cover of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine in fall of 2020. So it's very cool. People are happy. We're all good. And get on the train, or I should say on the bus. Let's go to Maryland, Nancy. It's been a while.
Okay, why not?
Are you ready?
Why not?
Let's go talk to Mike.
Yeah.
So those of you who know our show from way back when will even recognize some of that clip of music. This is old school Big Blend Radio. I went back in the archives and I can't believe I even have them. Somehow they ended up in Dropbox and I went, oh my God, we used to play this all the time. And we had Mike Dunmire on the show all the time as a champion for Ocean Champions. He's really an amazing human being that understands that we need to take care of our environment, and he's never stopped. When he was with Ocean Champions, was on our show all the time talking about how they were taking the money that they could raise and use it for political campaigns for people that were doing the right thing for the ocean. You've got to think 70% of the world, isn't it? 70% is water, ocean. So he understands that, and he understands energy, and that's what he's doing today. He is a leader in, well, he's with U.S. Wind. They're the leader in offshore wind energy in the state of Maryland. Maryland, what we found out, is really kicking some butt in regards to energy. Our friend Adam Roberts was just on the show. He's running Bethesda Green in Maryland. And so it's really funny because they've been on shows together, too. We should just have a party with the two of you. But welcome back. Mike, how are you?
Oh, fabulous. It's so great to be back with you ladies. I'm so honored to be a part of the 25th anniversary series of shows. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. I mean, you're not giving up on the whole, I know you went from Ocean Champions to being an entrepreneur and running a business, and now you've put your foot into the literal windy water of Maryland to really work on offshore wind energy. And this is something that people are, I know, are working towards making, like, hey, we need to do something right now. We've got – what's happening with that whole bill? Is the Build Back Better Believe in – is that even happening anymore? Should I ask?
You know, if I were to be, you know, putting money on it, I would say no, but, you know, never say never. There's always a chance. But there's still, you know, plenty of good things in the infrastructure bill that did pass and plenty of incentives that are in place to develop offshore wind and other renewables. So, you know, the Build Back Better would certainly be helpful, but there's already a lot of momentum. So good things are happening.
So being part, I know you've gone from the nonprofit to an actual like business sector, right? In a way, I think we need both. And isn't it important that we have these companies in place to be able to, you know, when you get the big green light and to start rolling now? It's rolling. It's been rolling for a while, but this is really important now that we don't sit on our butts and wait for the big wave to take us out, literally.
And, yeah, your metaphors are right on point, as always. It's funny how things happen because – I did Ocean Champions, was the executive director there for about 5 years. I'd been on the board before coming on as executive director, stayed on the board after I left, and I'm really proud of what we got done there, but wanted to try my hand at building a small business. But it's kind of funny, as you guys know from your show and all the incredible people you've spoken to, there are all these networks that are out there, and it was really part of the Ocean Champions network kind of sought me out and found me for this U.S. wind opportunity. So, these worlds coexist and interact, and people that did a lot of great things in one world can show up in the other and do great things there. And There's a lot of momentum. So U.S. Wind has the wind energy area that's off the coast of Maryland, but it's one of, I believe, 14 projects that are in some state of approval up and down the Atlantic coast from Massachusetts down to North Carolina that in total can deliver about 25 gigawatts worth of offshore wind energy. Our project will deliver about 1,100 megawatts, 1.1 gigawatts, and that's enough to power 350,000 homes in the area. So there really is momentum. Scotland just approved another 17 projects today off their coast for another 25 gigawatts, and this is what makes you hopeful that, you know, at a global level, we can get to the kind of scale that can make things, you know, we can slow down climate change, slow down sea level rise, and maybe, you know, keep things going.
Awesome. You know, we're excited. I know that when you were with Ocean Champions, you really talked about this a lot. And I remember Nancy and I going, oh, I don't know if wind is good, like the wind energy is as good as solar. And we've seen highs and lows from both, actually. And it's really about how it's done, I think. I think it goes according to the company of who are doing it and where they're placing it strategically, right, in a way. It's not just all is good, all is bad. We have to kind of get
there are nuances. So different types of renewable energy are better or best for different areas. So where we are, and I'm actually in Delaware because we'll be making landfall here in Delaware, so there's a lot going on. But in Delaware, we don't have, or in Maryland for that matter, large tracts of open land that you could use for solar arrays. But what we do have is consistently steady winds blowing offshore year-round and a continental shelf that stays very shallow pretty far out. So it's relatively easy to install the foundations that you need to support these turbines, and you've got good wind blowing there. So that's the energy resource that we have readily available, and because you've got so many people moving to the coast, you need energy sources that are close to the coast. It absolutely makes sense to do this here. And what you're talking about, and there are concerns out there about impacts on the environment, mainly that's during the construction phase, but there are incredible amounts of mitigants that are put in place to make sure that we do, you know, cause as little disturbance as possible. And you know, I'm proud to be a part of a company that is really paying attention to that and wants to make sure that they do everything the right way.
Yeah, you know, that's awesome.
It totally makes sense that every state has its own personality, if I can put it that way. And so not one solution is a blanket solution for everything. I think that's one of the hardest things we have to get over, is that one solution is a blanket solution for everyone and everything, because I don't think that exists really, truly anymore. And so I think when we're looking at the environment, you've got to go place by place, climate by climate. You've got to look at what sources, how much water do you have, how much wind do you have, you know, how much sunlight do you really get before you can make a decision on what's right for that particular state, you know. We put borders, as humans, we put borders up, and nature goes, nah, I don't care. True.
Absolutely. And you know, along our coast here, the thing that we're impacted by big time is sea level rise. Delaware and Maryland along the Delmarva Peninsula, which you now know about, it's a very low-lying area. And, you know, it's not just about coastal homes and things like that. It's saltwater inundating farmland and making it toxic and unable to grow crops. So there are a lot of reasons why we need to get on board. And as you mentioned, Nancy, you want to, it is in all of the above in terms of, you know, solar, wind, geothermal, onshore wind, offshore wind. There are lots of different ways to get at this. We need to do as much as we can.
Yeah. And speaking of Delmarva, this is what we learned about Delmarva. I just want to give some shout-outs. Listen, the area is beautiful. Farms, barns, national wildlife refuges that we went through, that we saw, the wildlife was just, I mean, swans. I mean, it was just, it was incredible,
so
our time there. And it was like so duh of us to not realize that you were right there. Like, it was so stupid. I was like reading a brochure in the B&B going, Lou's Delaware, like, holy crap, Mike is right here and we're leaving today. This is so stupid, you know. But we were at the Hummingbird Inn. I got to give a shout-out to them because, you know,
that's
our
so cool.
road trips, you know, our permanent road trip that we're on got weird during COVID, and tourism was weird. And then we connected with all these bed and breakfasts, and that's how we traveled and stayed where we stayed because they were very good about keeping things clean and distanced and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now we pet sit across the country through Trusted House Sitters. They came on a show, and then next thing you know, holy cow, this is the coolest thing on the planet. We get to hang out with dogs and cats and tortoises and chickens and guinea fowl and whatever. You know, this is the coolest thing ever and have good internet. It's great. But anyway, we were in Easton, Maryland when I was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize the ocean was right here. You know, this is the problem with GPS. You actually forget about getting your geographical knowledge. But I was like, the ocean's right on this side. And then it was like Old Bay seasoning was real. It's like, here, that's where it's from. You know? Dude, the bacon, this guy does it, like, stuffs it in bourbon and candies the bacon overnight.
The best bacon ever
this big,
on
thick,
the planet.
It comes in a big glass, and it's I know Michael's rolling his eyes right now. Michael Ely that's coming on our show because he's vegetarian, but that bacon, I'm sorry, was one of the best things we've ever eaten.
Ever.
No, Old Bay seasoning and, so shout out to Hummingbird Inn.
It was the bourbon, which is you know, vegetable-based, right? So that's
of course. That was it. And then we also went to Odessa, Maryland. Delaware, excuse me. Let me get straight. So we ended up learning about the Underground Railroad network, and went into these mansions that were built by Quakers and business people, but they wouldn't have they had silhouettes cut, but they wouldn't have paintings painted of themselves because that would be too egotistical in their belief.
Right.
And then you go up and you found all these places, nooks and crannies, where they hid slaves on the run. Going for their freedom. And when you looked in these little spaces, I mean, tiny.
Some of the places, you were like,
we humans would not fit in them now.
Well, we wouldn't fit in them.
No,
I mean, we're so tall compared. It's like being in a coffin, but squeezed down. I don't know how a human could go in the places that we looked at where the slaves hid. It's mind-blowing.
On their road to freedom. And it's important that we say this today, you know, when we think about civil rights, it's Martin Luther King Day. And the history back east where you are so deep and something that really opened our eyes, you know, coming from the west side,
like,
you know, wow. And I want to give a shout-out to Miller and Dunham, Bed and Breakfast out there. They're awesome people. And hi, buddy, to the dog. So, Mike, we got to get on the road. We're going to Chicago. What's the temperature in your neighborhood right now?
You know, we're right around about 35. We just came out of 22, and it's warmed up considerably, so it's relatively balmy at 35.
It's 37 where we are right now, and we're being babies, okay? It's 37. Okay, so we're going to go to Chicago area in Illinois, so I hope, you know, you're ready for that. But Priscilla, our pink sock monkey, wants to take your order. She wants to, you know, make sure you have a cocktail or whatever you'd like to drink on the happy hour bus, the Big Blend bus, and, you know, whatever snacks, it's happy hour. What would you like?
You know, so I got to go, keeping with the theme, a nice glass of Jefferson's Ocean bourbon. Neat. Three fingers would be great. That should get me until we get to Chicago.
Dang.
Cool.
Ooh. Would you like something to eat? Are you going to eat dolphin stuff again for the dolphins play or whatever? I will never forget that show. I will never forget that. Shout out to Eddie Maldonado to co-host shows on this.
There you go. Well, yeah, the Miami Dolphins continue to frustrate me, but the Oceanic Dolphins continue to bring joy. But I'll have to take a little bit of their food. We'll go with some pecan-crusted rockfish, a.k.a. striped bass, as the rest of the world knows it, but down here we call it rockfish. It's been in season, and it's absolutely delicious. So we'll cut up some of that and share it along with the bourbon.
So you
there
put pecans on fish? Is that
there
pecan crust?
Unbelievable things that happen here, yes.
Huh. And it's not a pecan, as we learned when we were in Texas. A bed and breakfast owner
told
that the brick house in Nacogdoches, Texas, the old she goes in, she's got the accent. And I said, is it pecan or pecan? And on her interview, she said, if it was a pecan, that means you're peeing in a can. It's a pecan. That's how I flip.
Okay.
Always a pecan. All right. On that note, we're going to Chicago. Put your jackets on, everybody. The bus is going, and the bus has snow tires, thanks to our friend Andrea from yesterday's show, who's in Sun River, Oregon, where you have to have snow tires. I didn't know such a thing existed, but we now have them. So stay tuned. We're going to go pick up Jody. That was some clapping to get us to, you know, Illinois, because it's cold there, we know. We're very excited to welcome back Jody Cantor back on the show. She is she's a teacher, she's an educator, and she's the owner of Wonderlust, which is this amazing online store. So you can go to wonderlustmark.com that is all about clothes like T-shirts and hoorags for National Park travelers. So National Park junkies, you can go there too. So welcome back to the show, Jody. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be with you guys again.
Hey, cool. I know. This is exciting. You know, we went all the way from Maryland, or is it Delaware? Where were we? Listen, Mike, did we pick you up in Delaware after all that? I thought we were in Maryland, but apparently we went to Delaware. And, you know, Priscilla didn't tell us. But, you know,
I had to run a little bit to catch up, but you got me.
Okay. He's on the roof now. But anyway, what is your temperature? We have to go with that. We have to find out, because from what I've learned, like, your area is like the snow zone.
In Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We dodge the snow. That big storm that went through the Midwest and now that's out on the East Coast kind of just skipped right over us, I'm happy to say. So we got a dusting of snow. Yeah, but it is a balmy 26 degrees here right now, which is not too bad, actually. I'll take that.
26.
At the end of January, mid-January.
Oh, my gosh. Nancy and I did Madison, Wisconsin, Christmas year before. Did a pet sit with the most awesome collies and Gussie Bucket, in Madison. And they're like, oh, no, in December it really doesn't do that much. And then, of course, snowstorms happened, and I'm learning to snow shovel. And Nancy's like, you're going to do this. I'm going to make you toddies. And thank God for toddies. You know, and I do need coffee and toddies because I do have asthma. And it's, like, not a bad asthma thing, but, like, I'm not going out there without a toddy. I don't care what's going. No.
Well,
and I learned about that.
My granny taught me how to make a toddy. I don't care what hurts you, it'll fix it.
And it's true. I did learn you cannot pick up dog poo in the ice. It doesn't work. You can't do it. I tried.
Nice.
I was like, I came back and I'm like, my God, I'm so upset. I can't pick up the dog poo. It's frozen. and yellow snow exists. But we went back to Madison in the spring, and the couple that we were sitting for were like, you've got to come back and see, you know, why it's so beautiful. And it was beautiful in winter inside. But when we went back, it really was this magical place. And that's a really good city. But we did go through your area. Madison's not far from Chicago. And we went through Champaign Lakes area. I think it is, and they have all this forest preserve, Champaign Lakes Forest or Champaign Forest, and we went out in the snow. We did stuff in the snow. All I know is we did do it. You have snow on your trees, but it ices. There's a difference, Jody. You've traveled the country to national parks. There's a difference with your snow. You know there is, right? It's different. It's
I guess I don't know that, but now I need to get out more in the winter months to sample that.
It's crystallized. Well, it's,
you have
more.
Like crystallized snow. And we drove through a snowstorm at night, and then we got to a place
that was
so like,
much fun.
Rest area. Oh, yeah, go out to the rest area, run to go potty, and it's snowing, and all the picnic benches are frozen and covered. And no, we've been in, like, Rocky Mountain National Park, and it was full of snow, and the picnic benches were covered with ice and snow, but it was warm when the sun shone. It wasn't warm. You know what I mean? It's different. Yours
yeah.
was ice. But it's pretty.
And I was going to say, maybe they get that light, fluffy kind of snow, and ours comes with a little bit of moisture to it, so it's heavier, and then it freezes. And we did have an ice storm the other day. That was fun to navigate.
Yeah, it's absolutely moist, for sure.
What?
It forms crystals, as opposed, but when the light shines through, it's really awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
From the outside, from the inside looking outside, it's pretty.
I know. When you're outside, but you're just like, help.
We drove through the night and saw, like, everybody, it was in January, and everything was all twinkle eyes from Christmas lights, and it was magical. But then getting gas in a snowstorm was not magical at night. But yeah. We kept going, and it was so pretty in the morning. Like, we're driving through, I'm like, this is what I've seen in books. This is, like, I was like, this is so cool. It's so exciting to see fields of snow, like literal fields of snow. It was magical.
Amazing.
But Priscilla would like to serve you something to eat or drink. She wants to make sure you're warm and cozy. What can she get you?
Well, gosh, you mentioned the hot toddies. I think Chicago is known for like old-fashioned drinks, the old-fashioned drink.
Cool.
I don't even know what's in it, though, but it sounds good. I'll take one of those.
All righty.
Get on it, Priscilla.
That sounds
She'll
warming.
Have to look it up.
Give her a double.
yeah, that's it.
But our
and
only
what
snack
like
here is, yeah, our snack here is just pizza. So that could be breakfast, it could be lunch, dinner, or snack. We just do pizza.
And we're... As far
cool.
as we are concerned, then we are Chicagoan because all day, any day, anytime. Nancy wants pizza ordered at night so that she can have it for breakfast, and she heats
it
up.
Oh, absolutely.
She fries an egg and puts it on top so the egg is runny enough to get over the pizza. And it's like a, you know, if you like Eggs Benedict, this is a whole different version.
it's
so good.
It's egg pizza stick.
I think you may have lost me with the egg on the pizza.
No, it's,
no, it's good,
good in the morning if you heat it up. And don't put it in the microwave. Do not put it in the microwave. You put it down on a griddle or a frying pan, not too much oil. Don't do it. And then
oil.
You fry an egg just enough that it's
crispy on the
outside.
And then you put grated cheese on
then
top.
You got to add the cheese. Add more. I know. Don't look at my waistline. Don't, but it's good. But it's really, really good. So I'm just saying, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. So I heard that you did some traveling this year. You've been out, well, past year, last year. You went to the Smoky Mountain National Park, which Nancy and I did too. Hot Springs, which we did in the beginning of the pandemic. Hot Springs National Park. They would like T-shirts there. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I think I can accommodate that. Sure.
Yes.
Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast, they were asking about that, which is, if you're going to go to Hot Springs, this is outside of the city, you go and you sit, it's a log style, they have like 50, 60 acres of forest, and we sat on the front porch of the log cabin style B&B, watching barred owls train their babies to hunt while the fireflies were coming up. Seriously.
That's so cool.
Wow.
The best experiences, but... You went last year. Did you stay in town? Did you camp?
I didn't camp. I stayed in town just a little bit out of the fray. I like to be on the fringes a little bit so I can, you know, isolate away from the crowds, but then be close enough that you're right in the park, you know, first thing in the morning. It was just a quick weekend there, but I really enjoyed Hot Springs, dare I say, more than I thought I would. I don't know. I knew it was historical. But I really got wrapped up in the history of it too. And then of course you can get outside of that downtown, that main street, and find those parks and the hikes and the trails and the waterfalls
mm-hmm.
and all that. It was just really neat. It just had a lot to offer. I really liked
yeah.
Hot Springs.
Well, if you me go too. There again, we stayed at Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast, and it was so much fun. And it's
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
And then because Lake or De Grey Lake or Lake De Grey, whatever, there's a Lake De Grey. And when mm-hmm. we went there, they told us like you may see bald eagles. We saw bald
yeah.
eagles out there
mm-hmm.
fishing.
Oh,
that's so cool.
It was so cool. And downtown is different. This is the only park that has a brewery. I'm just saying,
you're
there's
right.
a brewery. And of course, we went
that's
there. Daily. Priscilla was there. I'll have to send you a photo. I think I may have.
Well, it's part
she
of the
her,
research.
Had,
you have to go.
Yes,
Priscilla had her do-rag. That's her, you know, that do-rag, think about it, has been through Rocky Mountain National Park in the snow to Hot Springs in a brewery. That's where the National
she's
Park
is. She's living large.
Go. I love it. I love it. We got
she's
so
a,
much to talk with you. Go ahead, Nancy.
She's a little out of control at the moment.
Well, she's busy.
Well,
she's
she does run for president.
Fashion.
She's got to wear her do-rag.
Well,
she really
does.
Wants to be
that's,
president.
That's it. Is that a campaign contribution right now on air?
Consider it, yes, of course.
Yeah, she wants to run for president.
We'll send her
she
a new
said,
one.
She says she
yes,
has
she
relatives that
one.
She wants to release out of zoos. So she
well, that do-rag was what when the COVID I said this before we went on air, but it's true. When the COVID pandemic happened, we were in Joshua Tree area. We were in 29 Palms back in our – Mike, I think you were on shows when we were in 29 Palms, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
when we were in Tucson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So right around the corner, our friend Jerry, who has Homestead Bed and Breakfast, and she'll be on the show on January 23rd, everyone. She's known
cool.
us since way print days of the magazine.
Her fault.
We were there, and that's when the whole COVID, and we got turned around at Joshua Tree. We were there filming tent caterpillars breaking
mm-hmm.
out of their thing. Anyway, we wanted to go back to the nest, and we were there right as they were like, that's it. Nobody can go in the park anymore. We're like, oh, this sucks. And but anyway,
yeah.
the do-rag, that's what I had, like, immediately, like, everybody run to the grocery store and take all the pasta and toilet paper you can. And I was like, I'm going in there for wine. Everybody move. And I'm going in for wine. I don't care. I'm going in. And I did get the food, but luckily Jerry got the toilet paper. She went to the commissary. But I went in. But seriously, it was like, here I'm like, I'm proud with my do-rag, and that's my mask. And that was my immediate mask during the pandemic. And I think it's a great thing on trails when you're outside. I know they say you have to have the proper mask thing, but the do-rag is great in when you're hiking
mm-hmm.
because you can put it up or down. And also when you're in the South, you in places like South Carolina and North Carolina, you do want to cover your mouth because things
mm-hmm.
fly in. And thank yes. you. Thank you. Thank you, Jody. Because that do-rag has been around. It's been through a pandemic and what they call chiggers. And I have to say
chiggers.
That correctly. Those little
chiggers,
those little things.
Yeah.
Do not touch
oh, sure.
Spanish moss.
Yeah.
So thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they are
for,
on the Spanish moss, which everybody wants to touch. And I'm like, don't do it.
Don't
so thank
do
you
it,
for protecting
right.
the
don't
mouth.
Don't do it. You'll be sorry.
We try. We do what we can.
And need to go around the town going, I got the chigger.
I know. And then you look down, you got a gator right there, and they're all hanging on the gator back, too. It's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I know you. I want to talk about your Florida trip, too. And speaking of Florida, you mentioned waterfalls. And so we're going to play a song called Orchids and Waterfalls. This is from the album Iridescent Garden by Michael and Spider. And Michael is on the show. Mark Navarro is on the show, photographer Mark Navarro. And Eva Eldridge is on the show too. All of them in the Tucson compound because they're all there in the same neighborhood, basically. I think you could walk to each other's place. But this is our own home, old hometown, and our friends from Tucson, and we're very excited to have them back on the show. So we're going to play the song
that's so awesome.
Orchids and Waterfalls. You were just in, you know, Florida. And I know that orchids are still blooming in Florida right now. It's really hard to believe, but they are. So, you know, did you see any orchids while you were there, Jody?
Gosh, I don't think I did, but you know what? And I think it was due to the pandemic again. We just really stayed right on the beach.
I know that
sounds like a hardship.
But really we just stayed
on the beach and just isolated and kept away from the crowds and just really enjoyed the time to, you know, relax and recharge.
That's good. Where were you Florida? Like what part?
Fort Lauderdale.
Nice. Oh. Well, that is Orchid Land, and that is the area where we started our tour from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we kind of got this idea when Nancy and I in 2012 went to do a tropical plant expo Florida in January 2012 in Fort Lauderdale. We were invited by a company called Costa Farms to go and do a radio broadcast. Priscilla made one of her biggest debuts, by the way. And we took her there. We went to the Everglades, and we did see orchids in the wild and bromeliads in the wild growing in the
cool.
trees, which blew my freaking mind.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's really where the concept of the tour happened, and then it came to be. You know, the decision was made in Saguaro Park, National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is actually pretty cool that this is the bridge. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here is Orchids and Waterfalls, again, from Iridescent Garden by Michael and Spider. You can get it on Amazon, Spotify, wherever. And hopefully Bandcamp, because they actually pay musicians. Here it is, Orchids and Waterfalls. And here it is. I'm trying to find it.
Here it is.
It's so different. We don't do it like this anymore. And now everyone's going to laugh. Here it is. Dude, seriously, I just uploaded. Are you kidding me? No. Okay, well, we're going to do the next best thing. Are you kidding me? I did do this.
Do you want me to sing?
Okay. You can.
Yeah,
you wanna
go
sing?
Ahead.
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on, again.
Well,
no.
I'm going to do the second part, which is from Perfume of Creosote. I really want to play the orchid song. But this is rock gardens and swimming. Rock gardens, swimming pools, and barbecues. So it still makes us warm, but we will get the orchids back. So here it is. And this is from Perfume of Creosote. Swimming pools and barbecues from the album Perfume of Creosote by Michael and Spider. And super excited. I love playing that. And we play this on the show all the time. So, but we are going to play Orchids and Waterfalls no matter what. It's going to happen. And that's from the album Iridescent Garden by Michael and Spider. And that's how we first met Michael. And Michael, we have landed. The bus has landed, literally, because it just flew over the ice. Flew over Monument Valley, flew over the Colorado River, and it landed really in the hub of Tucson, right at Eva's house, Eva Eldridge, writer Eva Eldridge. Eva, how are you? How are you doing?
I hope I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was afraid my mute was on.
No, it's good. Priscilla's like, we're landing at Eva's. She's got a circular driveway. Like, you got the roundabout there. The bus can fit, and she knows you cook, and she needs help. And she knows you cook Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July. Yeah, it don't matter. Eva knows how to cook, and Priscilla is coming for another lesson, and you've taught her in the past. But everyone, writer Eva Eldridge, go to evaeldridge.com. Mm. And it's good to have you back on the show, and it's good to be back in Tucson virtually. I wish we were there. We miss it. We miss you guys and miss home, Sunshine,
It's probably a little warmer here.
Give us the degree and make us all wine.
65.
What?
65.
65? Did you say the sixth word?
Yes, I did.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if it's our blood or what, but cold is cold to us.
No, dude. I don't know. Mike and Jody, I don't know how you do it. We respect and love your areas, but
my areas are covered with 17 layers. That's how we do it.
Your areas are covered. Okay. Everybody, just be sure Mike's areas are covered.
I'm not touching
that's very
that
important. All right. I want to welcome back Mark Navarro, the photographer, amazing photographer. You follow him. Go to marknavarrophotography.com. Follow him on Instagram and Facebook. He posts amazing photos of Saguaro National Park. But welcome back. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Cool.
Good. And Michael Ealy, we played, the music, rock garden, swimming pools, and barbecues.
Mm.
We will play orchids and waterfalls. It will happen. But welcome back. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. But thanks for picking me up on the bus last.
No,
I've been standing out here waiting and waiting. As Eva said, it's 65 degrees. I didn't bring a heavy jacket. Anyway, it's nice to be on the bus with you all.
We're good to have you back.
30 degrees. So.
Wait.
37. 30, I don't know. It's going down rapidly, but
It's like the sun went down, and we're like, what?
But Michael, do you realize that Orchids and Waterfalls was one of the songs we played when you first came on our show? This is so funny. He came on. This was when we lived in 29 Palms, and then you sent us the album. I remember it coming like. In the mail, we had the music from your manager. You came on the show. Then you sent us, I think, more than one. Yeah, you sent us more than one album. And you wrapped it in lavender tissue paper. And it smelled like incense. And I was like, when I smelled the incense, I'm like, okay, I know you. But it was just this beautiful package that someone actually took time. Like, when you think about today that, I mean, who does that? And even at that point, the internet was there. Twitter had started. It was 2008. Twitter was there, just beginning, And you got to think back to that. And that was when your album came out in the spring. Good timing for Iridescent Garden. But, and you said on the show, when you come to Tucson, we've got to go have a margarita at the Tiki Bar. And we did, but the first time we met you was actually when we moved to Green Valley. We did not get the Green Valley grin. Anybody living out there knows what I mean. But we did go and meet Michael and Spider, had dinner, and then it was actually the second time we hung out with you that we went to the Tiki Bar. But the dinner was everything our heart doctor says we shouldn't have. It was macaroni and this amazing cheesecake where Spider actually went out in the garage and beat up the graham crackers for the crust.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Yeah. All the aggressions were taken out on the graham crackers.
And they're like, welcome to dinner, Spider's out there. I'm beating up your dessert. No. But it was magic. And here we are, and you've been on our shows for years, co-hosting and just, you know, the journey has
been long.
Probably
about like, at least 35 years.
No, don't make me that old.
I remember saying, if you're ever in Tucson, yes, we'll go to the Contiki, because that's when Spider and I were going through our kind of our tiki exotica music phase. And then you called one time and said, let's meet at the Contiki. And I said, oh, you're passing through town. You said, no, we live here now. We're like, oh.
it's
door.
Like, boom. Yeah, literally. And it's been so much fun. It's been so much fun. Then you introduced us to Eva and to Mark. And Mark, we haven't met you in person, but we will. And Mike, we will get there, and Jody will get there. Yeah, we will meet everybody in person, and let's do it this year sometime. Hopefully, let's not have any more virus stuff. Like, it needs to go away.
Right.
It really needs to go.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Listen, Eva, Priscilla's coming to hang on your shoulder. She's because now there's three orders all at once. And refills are already happening because we took so long. Like Michael said, we're just late. So first thing is, what would you like to eat and drink, Eva? Because now she needs your help, and she's hoping you will help her.
I would like a nice glass of sangria.
Oh,
cool.
That's not a shame. I
we
know.
Like
that's
that.
A good, yeah,
good
because
choice.
It's warm over in Tucson that you can have sangria.
Very Tucson, yeah. Very Tucson.
Yeah.
What and I would
like
a cheese crisp with big fat green chilies on it.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
It's spicy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Michael, what would you like to order at the bus window?
my needs are simple. Just a glass of Merlot, some extra sharp cheddar cheese, some Melba toast, and a jar of Eva's homemade bread and butter sweet pickle chips.
Ooh, I know.
And I'm good to go.
Nice.
Seriously, I know about those.
Can't
taste that.
Eva.
Her salsas.
Nice.
And her melons.
And he hands me an empty jar at Christmas and says, can I have more?
Yeah.
A refill, please. I'd like a refill. Cool. I remember those chips, and you're like,
so
I don't know if you like these. Done, like in one day, boom, out, happy.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious. Delicious. Okay, so Priscilla, that's easy. So Eva helped there, right there, because she has a room full of jars of goodness. Mark, what would you like?
My needs are probably even simpler because I'm pretty standard. I like my vodka and club soda, which is pretty much my standard drink, and to snack
whoa.
What
back
do they
up.
Call
vodka
that in
and
a bar?
Club soda? Like,
what
do you
call
have
that in a bar?
Yeah, I mean, do you put lime or something to give it something?
A little bit of lime, just a little bit, but it depends. Sometimes I'm kind of lazy, and I just go, I don't want to get the lime juice out of the fridge. I'll just drink it plain.
You put the lime
so
in
you
the
like
coconut. And he shakes it
the vodka. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
He loves Topo Chico seltzer water.
Yes.
It's really hard
if
to find
I have
right
that.
Now, but
already has a slight little lemony taste, and it's got way more fizz than like a Coke soda, but there's a shortage right now, compliments of Texas, from what
there's
I read.
A shortage of fizz.
Of this particular brand, because all of a sudden it's become really popular in Texas, so now I can't find it anywhere here, and they can't keep the production.
There's a shortage.
Well, as we
they
drive through Texas,
up.
I'll
yeah.
find it for you.
There's
I'll get
a shortage.
I'll get it.
Right here in River City.
Yeah, I'll
yeah,
get it. Well,
please,
you know.
Please, Lisa, because they're hoarding
right?
over there in Texas.
Don't start.
We
don't
need
stop
our
me.
We need our seltzer water.
Deep down, remember your song,
grocery,
Deep Down
so
in the Heart of Texas? Remember, Michael, Deep Down in the Heart
I
of Texas?
I do remember,
with the mood,
yeah.
That recording, I don't think we're allowed to play on the air.
With all the sound effects.
Can I just say
really
to people who hoard,
no,
stop it. I hate
It's just the hoarding thing. It's just a little tongue in cheek, but there's nothing obscene or you
no,
can play
got
it sometimes.
Some news. It's cool. No, we can. We can. We just didn't know about the rights, but the So the bubbly. So you're doing good sparkly watery vodka. So you're very healthy, Mark. And I know because you cycle too. You cycle, and sometimes you meet rattlesnakes on the pathway.
Rattlesnakes, oh yes.
Cool.
I've had them cross the path.
I love your bike rides, and I love the path. I love that whole corridor. Tucson has just done such a great job of multi-use trails. I mean, it's just freaking amazing, that whole trail.
And I have to tell you, because Mark's too shy to tell you himself, but one of his photographs was chosen as the photo of the day by Arizona Highways.
Oh,
and this
cool.
is the fifth
really?
Photograph that they've
featured. Yeah,
that was
today.
Pretty cool.
When I looked
awesome.
At the site, I go, oh, that's my photo.
That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona Highways is like nationally known. I mean, that is huge.
Oh,
I mean, Ted
DiBiase,
the artist, that's the two, the editor of that magazine and Ted DiBiase really helped make it be an art, put artists at the forefront and photography at the forefront. And that's like the National Geographic of Arizona, not Tucson, Arizona.
Yep. It is. It is.
It really is. So congratulations.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, my
awesome,
gosh.
Cool. Dude.
Priscilla, give him a devil shot of vodka. And what would you like to eat, Mark?
I'm a total chips and salsa guy. I can make whole meals out of that.
Ooh.
Okay, but listen, if you're going to eat that, please don't crunch on the show.
I'll let them soak in the salsa so they soften up.
You soak that. You soak that. No, I love this. So, you know, everybody on this show, all of you, what I think connects, you all just rock, but really is that you all do love nature, the environment, and parks. So I want to go to each of you and say, like, what was the last park you were in? And I'm going to start with Eva. Her article, Fort Windy, which is about Fort
Union.
Fort Union in Fort Union. Well, you call it Fort Windy because it is. That's its nickname because it's windy, and we know. Like, I had to hide behind adobe walls because I had a business call coming through, and I'm like, really, while I'm out here? And it was at least a friend, business friend.
That
and
sounds
like
a song, hiding behind adobe walls. Sounds
I
like
know.
A song.
It was crazy. Nancy's all there, and there were crows going to peck at Nancy, you know, like the birds.
I know. Somehow birds land on me. I don't know what the heck that
it
is.
It was a Tippi Hedren moment, but it was cool.
It is a Tippi Hedren thing. I'm like, I just put my hands up, and they're like, let's land. I'm like, shoot.
Yeah. But it was a cool place in regards to that they do have elk. It's part of the Santa Fe Trail. But your article I loved is that you really showed how the generations of the fort happened architecturally and why. And
yeah, that was
kind
of fascinating.
You made it really you made it easy to grasp about what was going on. So in the history, and it really showcased the history. And I think people don't realize the Civil War history. They don't understand that happened in the Southwest, and so you grasped it really well. But what was the latest park? Oh, everyone, the articles in the latest issue of Parks and Travel magazine, just go to nationalparktraveling.com. You'll see it. Just type in Fort Windy, and you'll find it. But what was the last park you were in? Or
I'm not sure. Well, we were in what used to be called Hot Springs. You were talking about Hot Springs before, but this is Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. We were there just last week.
Oh, cool.
And
I've always
we got
wanted to go there.
I thought you did go there. Guess not.
No.
It was we're playing with RVs. Trying to decide if we want to become RV people. So we rented an RV and we tried a couple of RV parks, and we ended up in Elephant Butte, and it was very nice. And we went to at least one hot springs. There's four or five public, or, you know, ones you have to pay for them to get into them, but we want to try a couple of the other ones. Jeff really is nuts about hot springs, so he had a great time there. So did I. It was beautiful. It was right on the Rio Grande, literally outside on the Rio Grande. It was beautiful, and birds and fish and all kinds of lovely things. And then we went to the Spaceport of America, which you have to get a tour for that. And that was way more fascinating than I could have imagined with that and what they're doing out there. So,
Eva, where's that located?
It's about 30 miles east of Truth or Consequences. You have to arrange to get a tour, and they bus you out there. You're not allowed to drive. You couldn't get on the property anyway, even if you did drive out there. And there's they give you a, you know, a spiel of what they're doing out there and the buildings, and it's very, very interesting. So it helps that's promoting the space programs from the corporate side. But the spaceport was built by the state of New Mexico, is owned by the state of New Mexico and two counties, the one with Truth or Consequences and the one with Las Cruces. They paid the $20 million in taxes for it.
Wow.
And they agreed to do it because it brings in tourism. And I know you guys are all about tourism.
Yeah, well, White Sands National Monument is now White Sands National Park, which it does deserve that. And,
it got upgraded.
Yeah, it did get an upgrade. And we need to go there because I want to roll around in White Sands. And feel like, you know.
That was something
it's,
about
it's like
not
going
again.
To another planet.
Yeah.
I was hoping to do that, but we were only there two or three days. You really need some time to go do that
but
kind of stuff. But anyway.
That area is amazing. Like Truth or Consequences, number one, who doesn't want to have that as a name for your town? Like,
that's
I
so
love
funny.
That name.
It's a game
it's
show.
It's perfect.
I know.
Well, that's
it is
like,
a game
that's
show.
That's a cool name.
What was?
But then
you should look for an article about that because I do want to write about it.
Well,
get
on it, girl. We're ready.
Yeah,
nice.
We're ready.
Go for it.
And, Roswell's not far. Like,
I
when you go down
Barker.
Into that area, we did some wildlife refuges out there. And, unfortunately, when we did Fort Windy, Fort Union, the drought was really bad, and we were doing this whole side of we went from this is last 2021 March and April we went from Taos and we did Colorado Springs and we did northwest Texas and northern New Mexico, and the drought was so bad, and we went to I think like four or five national wildlife refuges, and there was nothing like nothing
right.
but dust storms. And Nancy and I literally got depressed because it was so – these are some of the top places in the country for birding and wildlife birding, like wildlife watching birding in the time frame that we were there. And everything was dried up, and there were just these dust devils. And it took us back to being in Africa during real crazy droughts where you do see the horns and the skeletons out there, and it was incredibly it was so depressing. And then we got to Roswell, and there was this little patch of water, and there were some ducks in this one wildlife refuge, and I'm sorry I can't remember the name, but there was right there. And then there was crazy sculptures and statues and things that people put out, so it made us feel better, and we're like, okay, this is fun and crazy. But it really was sad. And hopefully with this year, from what I've heard, there's been some snowpack in Santa Fe, and it's coming back around. But this is the thing. I mean, it's something as we travel that you see climate change and drought. And, we've dodged fires. We've dodged hurricanes, tornadoes, and been through some of them. And it's something to think about as we travel. You know, I want to go over to Jody. Jody, have you experienced that kind of thing as you travel through national parks? Like that kind of, like, dang, this isn't what it was used to be. That, you know, it's like, hey, go here, and then when you get there, it's not there. It's because of the weather or the drought.
I think you start to see that with, like, the receding of some of the glaciers. You know, some of the parks that I visited, like, 10 or 15 years ago, you can see a remarkable difference you know, today. Mm. I didn't dodge any fires out west before, but, man, I tell you, we were in California one time, and the drought was really bad, and it was really dry, and you're just out in the middle of nowhere. And I thought if there were, you know, some kind of a spark of a fire to start, there's nowhere to go. So I don't know how those people, you know, go through that. It's just very scary. And it's just devastating too, you know, what it does to the lands and, you know, the homes and everything. But that's scary if you've dodged fires before.
Yeah, the west side of Denver just had a huge fire that wiped out a bunch of homes.
Yeah. Out by Boulder.
My music manager lives in Louisville and he was evacuated during that. So they lost a lot of houses right down the street.
Yeah, they did.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Waiting the season for
them. Yeah, they are okay. They're okay now. It was scary, though.
Yeah.
Mark and I grew up in California, and we don't ever remember the kind of fires that they, you know, sometimes there are fires, but we never, the fires that they've been having, it's insane.
Well, the fires create their own wind, and somehow it just seems to get worse and worse every year. With that.
Well, you know, in northern Arizona, they're having a lot of problem with, like, in the Prescott area and stuff, with these beetles that I guess attack the trees because they're so dry, so the trees are very vulnerable. And I heard that's been spreading into California, too. So it's just like one thing on top of another.
The bark beetle.
Yeah.
The bark beetle needs a cocktail, and so you can just chill out a little bit. He needs to come a happy hour party.
But again, the only reason the bark beetle is out of control is somewhere along the line, the predator, the bark beetle, has been compromised.
I don't know.
Hey, I have a question for Mike. Can I ask Mike a question?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's think about it.
I haven't studied at all, but I'll do my best.
What do you think about, like, in China and in Israel, I guess, they're starting to really seriously convert seawater to fresh water.
Yeah.
And also, if the East Coast is going to flood, can't we pipe that water to the West Coast where it's needed?
I'm totally serious.
Can't we build canals?
Mike, welcome to the show. Like, here's... Why don't you just take care of the whole environment? Go ahead, Mike.
I'm on it, but I'm going to need another drink first.
Yeah, I bet.
the water to fresh water, I'm certainly not an expert on that, but it's a process that does have some consequences. It does have an effect on the area where the salt water is taken from. There are some islands in the Caribbean. That's really the only way they can get fresh water. Limited spring water there. And so certainly that makes sense. But, you know, we've got to protect the groundwater that we have protect it from saltwater incursion, protect it from toxins and overbuilding and things like that that affect it. So you don't have to go to things like that because they can be problematic. And goodness, what was the second question?
Oh, well,
he wants you to pipe the flood water
if we're, if,
to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Certain
that
parts
may
of the
just
country
happen.
Are... Okay.
you probably know this, too. I mean, so in addition to sea level rise, the East Coast right now is sinking, and the West Coast is elevating. That's due to tectonic plate movement way back, and then it's like a seesaw. And right now, we went up, millennia ago, and now we're creeping back down again, and so with more and more water coming on board, it may find its way all the way out there to you, and hopefully it'll be desalinated and on the route.
But you know, we tend to think in localities. What's local to us matters. We don't think as the planet
globally,
something. Yeah, we don't think like, if this happens in China, eventually it's going to affect us over here. We don't really address that. We're thinking about
this
where we are.
And you would think that we would, after this pandemic, you would think that we do we would realize
well,
that how quickly.
I believe Mother Nature is giving us a heads up.
Yeah.
Get your stuff together. I'm being really proper on this show. Yeah, because I really want to say something else. But seriously, we have known this for years that this stuff was coming down the pipeline. We have known it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ignore it. Mm. And we look at things, where I live, if you don't like it here, then go to Florida. Oh, you don't like it there, go to Washington. If you don't like it there, go there. But what we don't look at is our own personal responsibility for the health of our planet, and not just our planet. I'm going to be, people are going to think I'm crazy. Beyond that, our solar system.
Yeah.
Because I believe what we do on Earth affects the other planets, and what the other planets go through affects us. I might be way wrong on that, but that's where I am.
Even
on that.
Even the sci-fi writer even knows what's going on the other planets.
Not really, but
we're already getting dirt up there. We're already trashing it.
Oh, we're already trashing out our space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
satellites.
Yeah, and there's a space station, and to get there, you have to dodge junk.
Yeah. Well,
I want to bring
what you're saying back home to Jody. Jody here with Wanderlust, and everyone, wanderlustmark.com. Jody, whole thing, you have a footprint. No, I'm going with what you're saying. Jody, you have a footprint. I love the T-shirt. And whenever we do shows, and now we do all these Zoom interviews, and people have to see our face, and I'm like, God. But I wear T-shirts, like, with the footprint.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it's, whenever we're doing a park show, because it's like, you have the footprint, where will you leave your mark? You talk about that. So what Nancy's talking about, like, that's something, too, about what we're doing in parks. So tell us a little bit about that, because it really does resonate about we don't take our stuff and put it in a park. We should only leave a footprint, right?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely in line with the whole, leave no trace theory.
Mm-hmm.
But it was born of, when I do go to the parks, I feel like I do still leave a little bit of me behind. Not my trash, not anything that, I carry out what I brought in. But it really is just that mark. You've left your mark there, and the park has left its mark on me. But definitely, in line with the leave no trace. But where will you leave your mark? Spiritual, but kind of a little bit. Yeah.
We talk about that with all the places we go, that it's like we call it deja vu dust. Like there's this connection to a place, and you'll go back to a park and you kind of know it. But you have this, and it will change. Things change. But with the protection
of our
park.
You can leave a mark, but it should be positive, not negative.
Right.
It's
your footprint, and the dust covers it over, Michael and Spider, and everyone, Spider's, Michael's husband, who's passed away, and we want to get into that too, but Michael and Spider made a video of being in Kings Canyon National Park, and they gave us a DVD of it to watch, and we had been there. We recognized all the places that they had been to, and they were like squirrels hanging out with them at the campground. And I shared this with a park ranger, Dana Dirks. She's now working for the forest in L.A. She's moving on. And I said to her, this is so important because we could see that everything was still pristine because it's a national park. That highest level of protection is the national park status. Mm-hmm. You cannot log. There's maybe 10 parks you can hunt in, or you can fish, you can do certain things, but this is the highest level of protection. And there's wilderness areas. The only way you can get in there is by foot. And, going through that video and having been to Kings Canyon in the now day, it was really, and now it's, things have changed because of the recent fires, and it's been a really hardcore thing for that area. But looking at that, Michael, that video and realizing when was that you filmed that? Because nothing had changed, really. There's climate change that's affecting that park, but.
Yeah. You're talking about the home, like the little home movie with music and stuff that I put,
yeah,
that we put together?
Yeah, you guys,
that
I think you were in Hey Taxi
that
time.
That was our last time in Kings Canyon, Sequoia in 1992.
Wow. Yeah, and so we went in there, and this is in the beginning of 2012 for the tour.
Uh-huh.
And looking at it, I was like, oh, my God, I recognize this, because I'm filming, right? I'm taking all the little intricate photos.
Like,
no, it's beautiful. And they preserved it by this highest protection. Mm-hmm. And the only thing we could tell really is that there is smog because of the agriculture and Central Valley below. Mm-hmm. Not just agriculture, but it's the cities like Fresno and, you know.
Yeah.
So there is that. And this was one of the first parks we ever went to that actually – address climate change, and the giant forest museum right there, they like, boom, we're doing this, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool that they address it, and you know, and of course now with the fires it's been devastating, but you can still go, please, everyone. The sequoias are open, depends on snowfall right now because of, especially with the fires, but and Jody, you got to go there, you went there. You went to the sequoias like a couple years
ago,
right?
Yeah, a couple years ago. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's magic land. It's magic land.
Oh,
Mike,
yeah.
Have you
beautiful.
Been
there? I have not. I have not. I've been to a couple national parks, but not there.
Wow.
I'm going back to our initial question. What was your last park that you went to? Like, even if it's your local beach or, you know, because I know you surf. I would surf.
Yeah, I do that. All the time. That's certainly where I commune. But the last national park I went to was Yellowstone, and I went out there with David Wilmot, who founded Ocean Champions, and Patrick Collins, who is our evil lobbyist on the Hill, and a couple of David's boys, and some friends, and we were out there hiking deep into the park for about 6 days, and we did not see another human being the whole time. It was just incredible, you know. All kinds of great charismatic megafauna. I'll tell you that the best encounter we have was one that I was not aware of at the time, and maybe that's a good thing, but we were hiking single file, six of us going up this incline, and so we're kind of head down and pushing our way up there. And when I was in the front three, and when we got to the top, we looked back and our friends were gone. Like, where the hell are they? And we look down this incline, and we see them standing on a fallen tree, and they're all, like, you know, making these gestures like they're, you know, holding their hands like paws and stamping around. What the hell is wrong with them?
Wow.
We're trying to figure out what's going on, and we waited on them, and it was about 45 minutes or so before they actually got back down and came up, and they told us when they got there, they said there was a ginormous grizzly that was walking down the hill, and
awesome.
We didn't see it, and said if we had been 10 seconds slower, he would have T-boned us. They stopped and settled back and waited for the grizzly to clear the area, and we had no idea, and I was so sorry that I didn't see it, but if I had, I might have just lost my mind and done something really silly, but yeah, just wonderful to be out there and have the opportunity to have those experiences and have this unbelievably peaceful environment to just enjoy with yourself and a few friends and really connect with the natural environment. It was unbelievable.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have to say, when I was in Yellowstone, a moose chased me, and it was so much fun. I was photographing a moose with her baby in a pond, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, because she put her head under and brought up all this vegetation from under the water. I was like, oh. And then the baby was nibbling on it, and I was like, this is so cool. And then I heard this little crack of a twig behind me, and I turned around, and I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, should I run or not? And then when it put its head down and charged, I was like, I think I should run. So
that's
I ran, and it was the most fun ever.
And she ran.
I have to say,
she ran
no,
so far.
I ran, and when I got to the tarmac road where there's cars and it's all crowded and stuff, I ran across the street in front of cars, and they had to slammed their brakes on, and the moose stopped, and he just looked at me like, you're so stupid.
Oh, my.
The mouse was so much fun. I love Yellowstone. That was the best thing ever, being chased by a moose. I love it.
Oh, man. I got to say Jody here, because she is a National Park junkie. And, again, wanderlustmark.com. I got to give a shout-out to that. But, Jody, I know you're hearing grizzly bears in Yellowstone. Are you a little jealous? I mean, because I know you're a bear hunter, not in, with a gun, but you love your bears. And I know you
I love hearing other people's stories too.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's like those encounters
so
make you be more human than you can ever be. Like, that's when you realize we're full of animals, you know, and wakes you up in humility, and just it's freaking amazing, the adrenaline and all of that. But what was your last park that you were in?
I went yesterday, actually, to Indiana Dunes National Park.
Cool.
So speaking of the cold weather, it was about 17 degrees there. And, but it was cool to see the lake frozen over. It had a lot of ice balls forming on the shoreline. And so you have ice balls, you have sand, you have snow all together.
Wow,
it was kind of a neat treat.
Hmm. That's interesting, because people have commented about, like, White Sands, should it be a national park? Should Indiana Dunes be one?
Yeah.
And I'm like, even, you know, even when we went to Great Sand Dunes in Colorado, it's like, it should. There's biodiversity that, you know, these that's a unique park. I mean, I think the Midwest is pretty freaking awesome, honestly, having done a bunch of travel there lately. I think you guys have amazing lakes, and I know there's been a lot of cleanup, but you have something that definitely the rest of the other country, I mean, the rest of the country does not have. And
yeah,
we
just don't have the bears.
The
if we could just move bears here, then I'd be happy.
Have you done Voyagers? Have you done Voyagers yet? National Park?
No, I do have to go there, though.
Ooh, yeah. You know, we're
but
going
I think
to
think Florida has bears. Right? Florida has bears. Why can't we get bears here
in
Chicago?
Chicago has bears.
We don't talk about them this season, though.
Oh. Okay, wait a minute. So, apparently we have dogs here where we are in Atlanta, Georgia. We're in
Pennsylvania.
Oh, right. We're dog country. Didn't
you are,
good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
D-A-W-G dog. Yep.
Yeah, national champion dog.
I mean, the neighborhoods got flags up. So is that good? The dogs are doing good? Does anybody know? All I know is they're doing good.
Is that
going to
be a sports team or something?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know, but that's where Mike always helps us.
University of Georgia, where actually Dave Wilmot, who founded Ocean Champions, got his undergrad. But yeah, they are the Bulldogs, and they just beat Alabama for
the
national championship.
So,
right.
So what
it's
would you eat
dogs,
for the Bulldogs?
It's
beef.
Dogs. There's dogs, and then there's dogs.
Dogs. No, it's the dogs. Like, all I know is I think the college and university football thing, from what we've experienced, is like that gets worse. It's like people are like more hot-headed about it than ever, you know. But okay, so let's keep on. And Jody, by the way, I heard that you're now doing park shirts and designs for state parks now. So you're venturing out of the national parks too, like us. Like it's like they're all important.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Obviously the moniker of the National Park Junkie is like my biggest seller, but we want to start hitting some of the state parks too. So we developed a logo, like I left my mark in blank state park. So we're going to do Starved Rock State Park, which is in my home area here. We're going to get shirts out to them this season. That's the first one, and we're just hoping to grow from there.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
I like your shirts. Cool. I went online and looked.
Thank you.
I like your stuff.
Mm. They are cool. They are cool. Priscilla approves too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the endorsement you need. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. So, you know, there he goes. I dig it. So Michael, where was your last national park or any park? Doesn't have to be a national park.
The Saguaro park.
Yeah, yeah.
East and west.
I heard that you and Mark went camping. You did like
camping?
A real camping adventure.
And he's like,
no Mark.
Camping.
No, Mark and a friend
I went camping.
Okay, that was in Saguaro. Okay.
No, that was in Aravaipa Canyon.
Okay.
I'm too old to sleep on a cot.
Oh, stop it.
I just stayed home and laid on the couch, pretended I was camping.
Did you hang out with Frappy? Frappy the dog is like really the coolest, sportsiest little dapper dog on the planet. You know, so
it's time to go back to see Michael and kick his,
rear end out into a park. But he went to Salon Park, so I think Mark, honestly, you know what? We try to get Michael out for brunches, you know, come to see a sunset, whatever, in parks, and it didn't happen. But you've done a very good job, Mark. I want to tell you, you've done an amazing job of getting him out. I do, really. So where was your last park experience? Because I know you photograph all around, and your photography is amazing. We love following you on Instagram and Facebook,
awesome.
And it's amazing.
Well, Saguaro National Park is basically my home away from home. And conveniently, it's only about a 15-minute drive from here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually pretty nice having it in your backyard so I can go out there, shoot the sunset, that kind of thing. But something I just wanted to mention just about climate change and how it's impacting saguaros, because you would think that, saguaros like the heat. But as the climate gets warmer, they're noticing that they're actually starting to move farther north. They're not
migrating
so much in the warmer climates. They're actually moving up into slightly cooler areas because it's getting to be too hot.
I'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say another thing that is happening is because water has been very erratic with the rain, like this particular monsoon this last summer, we just got bombarded with, 13 inches of water. The year before, we didn't even have, maybe an inch and a half. So there was this really massive drought, and the saguaros were reacting to that. So what we were noticing is that the flowers were blooming. They usually bloom in April.
Mm-hmm.
April, May, June is usually when the flowers bloom, and they were actually blooming out of the sides of the saguaros as opposed to most
and
of the time. They just grow on the tips.
That's never happened in history.
That's weird.
They usually bloom around in on top, but not out there on the sides, and it happened everywhere.
Right.
They don't know why.
Yeah, and they look like little bouquets of flowers just sticking out of the sides of the bodies, and then we were like, that's kind of odd. I go, that doesn't usually happen.
This is weird because
never seen it before.
Huh. When you say they're moving march, like moving north, I feel like this is the March of the Saguaros. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I see this
really
visual
slow
cartoon of these Saguaro Gumby cactuses move north. And then there's
well,
this movie in Chicago
now.
Just now.
Huh? I want to make a video. I want to Michael, can I use one of your songs and make a video? I want to make a video.
Of course.
Of them
marching
forward.
Tomorrow's.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, though, because
if
the rate things are going, they're saying that within 150 years, they might not be any saguaros here at all in Southern Arizona.
Oh, no.
They might be gone.
Isn't that weird?
But this is the this is a serious thing, the shift.
Serious everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing with because the weather's so erratic and then we end up having much warmer days, in the old days, they would just bloom once a year. I've seen them now past few years where they've bloomed multiple times. My neighbor has a saguaro, and in October, she had blooms in the saguaro.
Everything's kind of off.
Why is the saguaro blooming in October? It's not the time for the blooms to happen.
It's playing dead.
It's trying to procreate more often.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They react to the temperature.
They know more than what we do, I have to say.
Yeah. That happened
but
with
that
sharks.
But that throws everything
sharks
off,
did that in the
wildlife,
coast.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks, they do that. You're seeing things off of season. Like, honestly, we, I've seen snakes in places and times that you shouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't really hibernate, by the way, everybody. Snakes,
they
just
don't.
They'll come out for – I mean, I just met up with a cottonmouth in Okefenokee Swamp and went, oh, hello. You look like a rabbit woody to me. I don't know what you are. And I'm like, oh, crap,
so
it's a
cute.
Cottonmouth. He was very cute and really just wanted to latch onto an ankle very quickly. But it just
he
is –
He wanted to talk.
You know, we're in the shift zone. We are in change, and it's climate change, and it's also social change. And, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day today. Think about civil rights. Well, I want to go and turn over to Michael because, Michael, this is a it finally happened, you know, your case.
Yeah.
So give everybody an overview of this. You know, you and Spider passed away. You had just married each other when you were first – you were married for years. What, was it 36 years together, 36, 39? Was it
36?
40,
I mean, 43. 43. 43, God, I'm like,
yeah.
I can't
wow.
even imagine being – no. I'm 40-something. Like, you're my age in being together with Spider, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Spider works. You're doing things too, and most everybody that is connected in a relationship of a long time, married at this point, back in the day when Spider passed away, was, oh, okay, you're married, and your spouse gets to get a Social Security check for being a spouse, right? We know plenty of people who have that. You were not allowed to be married. And then as soon as you were allowed to be, you went, and of course you're married all this time, but not under the law.
Not
you
legally,
got married
yeah.
as soon as you could. And at that point, Spider was, you know, he was fighting cancer at that point.
Right.
And passed away during this whole thing. And am I saying this right? Mm-hmm. Getting it right? Take it
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what happened? You
well,
know, because
just,
he passed away
he,
and you didn't get your rights. You didn't get it because you weren't
well,
married.
Yeah.
Long enough.
He passed. Yeah, we were together for over four decades. We were finally able to get married here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away 6 months later. Because we weren't together 9 months, only 6 months, I was denied his Social Security. And I told him I would fight for it. So I found a great lawyer, Social Security lawyer here locally in Tucson, Brian Clymer, and he and his people helped me start a lawsuit against the federal government to correct this.
Mm.
And eventually, as it went up in the courts, Lambda Legal stepped in, and they were, you know, some of the best lawyers around. And took the case, and then it became a class action because there were thousands of people in my shoes that just, you know, kind of slipped through the cracks. So it took 6 years, but I won here at the Ninth Circuit, and it was appealed, and then just this last November, the Biden administration dropped the appeal, and so now all these people and me can collect Social Security of you know from our deceased partners. So it was a big thing, and I'm just so happy that it helped, you know, that it helped correct the situation.
Awesome.
It took a long
time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's landmark. I mean, it's such a huge fight, and it's a fight that, you know, when you've lost a loved one, do you really want to get in it? But then you have to survive, and it's like, you know, that all those mixed emotions to do it and then to stick it out. And, you know, it just kept going up and down. Yes, it's going to be on. No, it's not. It was like a boing up and – it's like a karaoke ball, you know. But you made it. You made it. And,
I know, and I'm so glad it's over because, honestly, it's very stressful for me. It involved a lot of press and all that stuff. And I'm not really one of those people that's, like, very good at, like, you know, talking about things. So
no,
it was very stressful, but we won, and it's over. And And it has a happy ending. And I know Spider would be really proud. So.
The Spider Absolutely. Is the man. And listen, one of the best guitarists on the planet. He's in the top 10 guitarists on the planet.
And his music lives on, I know.
And we are going to play Fiction Theater because, you know, it's our anniversary show. There's no way in hell we're not playing that song on the
I
show.
Told Mark.
We may not get
Orchids
of Waterfalls.
He told me.
You know, I think everybody knows this. Heard, like, okay, the music that, you know, the style of music that we get to meet you with this pretty, beautiful soundscape music, and then we find out, holy crap, listen to this other stuff
that
they were doing
were
back
in
the day.
Our roots were like punk and goth rock, yeah.
You guys are amazing. I've talked about you with, I don't know if you've heard the band The Furies. I was telling them, I'm like, dude, you guys were in L.A. at the same time. Didn't you know Red Wedding and ATAC? And he's like, I think, I don't know. I'm like, dude, what were you on? But, you know, you've kind of known him at the same time, you know. It's amazing. But congratulations. I know, isn't a piece coming out from the New York Times on this?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of stuff, but, I can't think of her name. It's a woman for the New York Times, and she writes articles about for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So she's writing
Paula
a story
Spann,
about
something
how
like
this
that?
Helped. Yeah, Paula Spann. Yeah. So, there's an
I
article I was told coming out about the case and how it helped gay seniors. So
there you go.
Which
right
I
on.
Guess I
right
am.
On. So everybody, who can raise our
senior.
Glass?
That sounds like a song. I'm a gay senior.
No, I've fallen and I can't get up. No, but no. I don't know why, but anytime I just cannot.
I just remember when I was a very young person, I loved dancing in clubs and stuff. And I remember saying to my friends, why do people get older and stop dancing? I'm going to dance, you know, all my life. I'm never going to stop dancing. And now I don't think I could even do one last through one
you
song.
Could. Every time we went to your house, we put on the 60s
on.
Albums and vinyl, classic. Okay, I want to go through okay, real quick, and then we have to do the
we're
happy hour of who you would spend
you
happy
dance.
Hour
okay.
with. Okay, we're going to do happy hour, this is the thing about you go to Michael's and you get the vinyl out, and it's the old school 60s and 70s music that you can dance to, and it's fun. And you can just, you get wiggy, you get
it's
like silly fun.
Old.
And everybody needs to, and vinyl's coming back, thank God, thank you, but any album, I want to hear from each of you an album right now that you want to listen to that just makes you feel really good. So Eva, going to you, music right now, an album, a song, I don't care, like music that makes you feel good.
Peter Frampton's Hummingbird in a Box.
Ooh,
wow.
Frampton, very
Dude.
Good, very good. Mark, what about you?
Oh, I'm a total new wave 80s kid, so my album of choice would be Missing Persons Spring Session M album.
All right. No,
cool.
No, that's a good album. They're very good. Okay, so Mike Dunmire, what about you? Mr. Firefly Cross.
So I got to There you go. I got to go with Kula Shaker and their first album, K, which was really interesting. I mean, you know, kind of a blend of 60s-ish sound with some mysticism and some edgy alternative stuff. And the reason why it comes to mind is that I went and listened to some of Michael and Spider stuff. And it's amazing how broad the range of music was. But there was some of that in there that reminded me of some of that Indian mysticism that came through. I thought, wow, this is kind of like Kula Shaker. But yeah, loved it.
Totally,
you must
Mike,
have listened
totally.
To Smoking Caterpillar.
Really like psychedelic stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Totally. Totally. Totally.
Cool.
I'm glad you got into their music because their music is
that was really nice of you to give it a listen.
Every time I've come on the shows with Lisa and Nancy, the guests are always incredible people, and I'm always interested to find out.
I
checked all of you out, and there's so much talent in this group. I'm just blown away.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Everybody's rock, and you guys
Thank
are all
you.
Part of our journey, and we really, really appreciate each one of you and our audience, everybody on the tour. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just so magical, and if this is the best way we can all get together, and it's always been this way.
Yeah.
And then through COVID, this is the way, you know. So it's magical.
There's times when we're traveling that we feel like we're all alone, and then we do a show, and we're like, no, you're not. You're not all alone.
No.
We're connected,
no.
But there are times on the road that things just don't happen the way you thought they'd happen. So you feel...
Listen, everyone, we're going to start Rest Area Road Radio Show. Like, we're just going to do live broadcasts, like an underground cult show that nobody knows is connected to Big Blend Radio, but I'm not saying it.
If it's because we're women or what, but things are different, and it's not always easy, but it's always funny, at least in my mind. It's always funny.
I know. I mean, we were on a trip recently. We were driving across somewhere, and a guy came up to the car. We're at the rest area, and we're just having a sandwich. And it was at night, and the guy comes up to the window, and I'm like, oh, hell no. And I just reversed out.
Mm-hmm.
And we could tell this guy was doing something. He was up to there. We've watched drug deals go down in rest areas.
Yeah,
and then at the same time, they have a pollinator garden for, wildlife and stuff, and we're like, this is some crazy stuff. And so, and we don't even get phased, and it's like we drive off, and it's just like, well done. And I'm like, well, yeah, we're not phased. We just moved down a little bit, and then we're like, we're more interested. What is this guy up to? We want to know.
Yeah.
And so it's just weird. A book will come out down the road, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Jody, because you travel a bunch and you go to parks. Come on, on road trips, do you see weird stuff too? Is it just, it can't be just us.
I think it is just you now. I don't think I have quite the stories that you have. I have not seen what you have seen.
We know Rest Area Rambo in Orlando on Highway 4. He'll tell you you cannot stay here for more than 2 hours and give you a little sticky note.
Maybe I go in too early. I hike all day, and then I'm in bed too early. Maybe I should stay up later to see all the fun stuff.
We do driving marathons. That's where we get into trouble.
Security guard for a rest area. He put his hand into the car, which I'm sorry, that's out of bounds already right there. He put his hand on the driver's seat, and he put his hands through and took a pink post-it, mind you, pink, and wrote the time that he thought we should leave the area. And we have been into so many rest areas, and that's never happened before. And he has earned the name of Rest Area Rambo.
And he was taking Florida's new laws of you cannot be in a rest area more than 3 to 4 hours. I don't even know what it is. But it was just really funny to have
you
that.
You still got the big giggles.
It is odd. But, we drive across the country, so we have experiences that probably we drive marathon trips, and so we stop in places, and we've done a lot of parks this way, and we managed to do COVID very well doing a lot of places and not being around a lot of people. But but Jody, what was your latest park?
What was my latest park, did you say?
I'm not. What was your latest? You were saying Indiana Dunes was your latest one.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was your
yesterday.
I'm on my segment, and I'm just looking at people trying to call in, and you can't. Sorry. Sorry about that. But sorry, can't do that. No. But we are looking at our happy hour closing up. So, ring-a-ding-ding, everybody. Who do you want to spend happy hour with anywhere in the planet? We already know what you're drinking and whatever, but let's look at where you want to go and who you want to hang out with to learn something with. So I am going to stick with you, Jody, on that.
Wow, you ask all these philosophical questions. I was going to give you John Denver's album for the last one.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just take John Denver with me on my next journey. I like traveling with good friends and people that I'm comfortable with and, you know, can share good stories with and good experiences with. But I'll go with anybody. Anybody wants to go to a national park, I'm game.
Wow.
So, okay. So, John Denver,
cool.
So Rocky
John
Mountain
Denver
National Park, you've done, right? Mm-hmm. You've done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is pretty magical. Did you get to do like a whole overnight thing and really hike and get in there?
No, I've done a few like stargazing things where you go out late at night with the rangers and, you know, you get the telescopes out there. But I've never hiked throughout the evening. I don't know. I think I'm a little afraid of what is howling out there. But the stargazing stuff is really pretty cool. And when you do
that's
that
cool.
with rangers, it's impressive what they know and what you can really see when you're looking through their eyes and their tools.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm down with that.
Cool.
I'm down with I would like to do that. And Rocky Mountain High. And Nancy just found out that John Denver did not die because of being drunk. It was an actual malfunction on his plane. Just so people know. Yeah. It had nothing to do with that. And he's peace and positivity in nature. We love that. Eva, who do you want to go out with?
One of the writing mentors recently passed away, Dave Wolverton, Dave Farland, and I want to go with him.
Where would you go?
Wow.
There's a place in Utah called, I believe, Snow Canyon. I want to go there.
Hmm. Okay.
Ooh.
Cool. Snow Canyon.
Cool.
I believe that's the name
about
of
Dave
it.
Wolverton
it's not.
Too.
It's not very well known. But there's a lot of history there I've read somewhere in the process. So, and he recommended it.
Cool.
I just saw something about him on Facebook. Maybe that was it, about his passing.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
Mark.
I mean, it's recent.
Yeah, it's recent.
Oi.
Yeah.
Oi.
There's so many people passing right now. I mean, it's insane. It's just kind of feels like one of those years of, but it's
where?
Ever since Dave Bowie died and Prince died, everything's been shit. I'm just going to say that, honestly, you know, it was David Bowie. Once he passed, I was like, oh, we're so screwed now. This is it. And then MC Bourdain, I'm like,
No,
we're going down.
He's colonizing
you know?
A new planet.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They know we're screwed with climate change. So Anthony Bourdain's setting up a kitchen. David Bowie's like, we're going to have the theater. We're going to have the arts. We're going to have the music. We're going to have all of that, you know. So there you go. So maybe Wolverton's there, Eva.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying, maybe. And Betty White will be there, too.
Betty White.
And Norm MacDonald, too. Can I just say Norm MacDonald? Can we just not forget him either?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Great one.
No. So, okay. Mark, who are you taking where for happy hour?
I actually would like to go a little farther back and meet up with Ansel Adams and just kind of pick his brain about his technique.
Ooh, that's a good one.
How he did those photographs with the equipment that he had to carry. And I mean, it just seems like such a cumbersome process.
God, I know. Now we're
great
like,
results with it. Yeah,
now
you put a whole camera
tripod
in your pocket.
Do we have to carry the lens? Do we have to do this? And then you think about what they did, and you can only have like so many takes, you know? And then the processing.
I mean, you were in film. I remember shooting film, and I would have a roll of like 36 images on a roll of film, and I was very precise of like, oh, I only have so many images I can do. So it made me think more than I do now with digital, because digital, you know, it's like, oh, I could fit thousands of photos on a chip.
Yeah.
I know, but then when you get it all back, then you have to go through it all, and you're like, geez.
Uh-huh. It's more work. So
yeah.
The trick that I force myself to do is I force myself to use the tripod whether I want to or not, because that forces me to think about what I'm doing and not
I
just
hate this
kind
tripod.
Of snap away.
I know, Lisa. I was going to say, you said tripod.
I hate the tripod. I want to just take it and shove it. You know, but I just really do. I hate the tripod.
Okay,
but it's
I just
necessary.
Have to say, here's the thing: if you're not going to use a tripod, do not do bingo wings with your elbows up in the air. Put your elbows close to your side, and then you can take a picture and not have camera
and not
shake.
Yep.
You can't do bingo wings.
All right.
Or
no
lean
bingo
on something.
Wings.
I've done
all
that.
Right.
Lean on stuff,
Michael,
use rocks. I've used rocks to
Michael,
hold my camera,
yeah.
That kind of stuff.
No. Bingo wings, and yeah. That's why you do push-ups. You know. Michael, who are you going to happy hour with and where?
Well, not to get mushy, but, you know, after I lost Spider, I grieved for a very, very long time, and I thought, I'm never going to meet anyone, and I'm just going to be going it alone. But, you know, Mark came into my life. It's a miracle. I couldn't be more happy. So wherever Mark's
cool.
going, that's where I guess we're going to go visit Ansel Adams.
We'll go.
Love it.
Ansel will dig it. Ansel's pretty open-minded and cool.
And it's
I
interesting.
Think.
Spiders. One of Spider's relatives here in northern Arizona was a guide for Ansel for
oh wow
would take
oh,
him
cool.
places yeah up in the yeah
awesome
I guess they have
wow.
a bunch of photographs he left them with
oh
wow
that
yeah.
is cool.
interesting huh
hmm.
My, you know Spider just has like an amazing history of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
We've done so many yeah. interviews with musicians lately, and I was like. Guitarist, I'm like, well, you know, Spider, like, I know that he taught this person taught you to do this. You know what I mean? And that's something
mm-hmm.
about Spider's guitar playing. And we're going to play Fiction Theater because it's just, you know, we play it all the time on the show, and we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to. I want people to hear the other side from the soundscape, the flip side. We're going to do that. But first, Mike, where are you going? And who are you going with? For happy hour.
All right.
That sounds fantastic.
So I think I want to go to Grand Staircase Escalante.
Nice.
Because when I went there before,
nice.
it relaxed me like, you know, very few places have. And it was, there's no ambient light, and it was the biggest sky full of stars I'd ever seen in my life. And so, so given that, I got to take Neil deGrasse Tyson with me. We got to get a you know good bottle of bourbon and go.
Yeah.
You know, let's get educated.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Right.
Very cool. Oh, we went there, Nancy, years ago before the park tour. We did it.
Yeah.
We went there years before, and we had our forerunner. Honky Bonky was the forerunner's name.
Honky Bonky,
because it was white. You know, big white forerunner. And it had a moonroof, and so, like, no one
was
around.
Car.
And so Nancy could get up there, like, back in, like, what we did in Africa and film.
Mm-hmm.
And we got pulled over by a park ranger. And they were like, what are you doing? You need to kind of sit down in your seat and all of that. And we felt
like I'm taking pictures.
But we did
what?
See condors being released. Mm-hmm. We saw wild horses, and at that time we didn't realize what was going on with the wild horse issue. But we filmed wild horses. We saw all kinds of lizards and snakes, and we also got lost and ended up in Kanab, Utah, with no wine, thinking we would really like a beer at the end of this heat. And we
and
got
like,
so lost at the end of that. We didn't know which way to go home, and... And everywhere we went, they said, you cannot have a drink here. So that was our happy hour show from there. But it was beautiful. I know. It really did. Thank you all for joining us. Really, really, for being on our anniversary show. It means so much. You've all been part of our lives.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. Great to meet all of you.
I know we always go over time. Sorry about that. Everyone, Mike Dunmeyer, keep up with what they're doing of offshore wind energy. And this doesn't mean just Nancy and Lisa when we eat beans. I'm just saying. But I had to. Sorry, Mike. Sorry. But
no,
this
you're
is
doing,
something
what you're doing is
we will,
wonderful, Mike.
Yeah.
It is.
Thanks so much.
It is.
People like you.
Yeah, it is really cool. And we'll have Mike back on the show further down the road here and keep up with him, and we'll get more in depth of what he's doing. So the website, though, is uswindinc.com, so check that out. Thank you, Mike. It is so good to hear your voice, and hopefully we'll see you as we traverse the country this year, and hopefully we'll get to have a drink with you finally after all these years. It'll be so good.
Got
to
do that. Got some great state parks here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jody, you've got all kinds of new products coming out, new places. You're not only just online, but you're also in new national park gift stores and really kicking butt there. So wanderlustmark.com. Thank you for joining us. It's been so cool.
Awesome.
Fellow park traveler and everyone, she put us on the thing of how many national parks we are going on as we travel, and really, we've actually done a lot more than we thought. And I was, like, thinking about that. I'm like, oh, so we got to update our map with you with what we were doing. So we've done some more that we didn't realize. And, Hot Springs, who would have thought, right, is a national park?
Right.
But it is. And actually was one of the very first. And there's a war about that. But I'm not going to say anything about that because we'll all get in trouble. But wanderlustmark.com. Jody, the best thing for social media is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, for everyone to keep up with you? Because you post such good stuff.
Yeah, I'm on all three.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's always posting good stuff about parks, so keep up with her on there. And go get T-shirts, man. They're cool.
Yeah,
and go get the
they are.
Get the hoo-rags. Cover your mouth. Nancy wants me to do that again. Thank you, Michael, again for sharing your story, and congratulations
Michael.
On winning the suit. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Michaelandspider.com is the website, and their music is streaming on all platforms. We're going to close with Fiction Theater because we have to. It's just such – it's like one of my most favorite songs on the planet. And thank you for letting us play your music on the shows and – being part and making our sound file, like our sound, our intros of all of our shows. It's been amazing. It's amazing. Michael, think about it. From 2008, not knowing each other, to what has happened. It's like, we'll see you. We'll see you all soon. I know. Mark, we'll see you at some point. We'll meet you too. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Mark, MarkNavarroPhotography.com. Call him if you're in Tucson because he does do real estate photography, right? Am I doing a hip flag?
I do,
cool.
Yes, and all kinds of other things. That sounds weird.
Hello.
Just go to MarkNavarroPhotography.com. He'll make you smile. Eva Eldridge, keep up with Eva at EvaEldridge.com. Eva, you're going to be at the Tucson Festival of Books coming up?
Yes, I will.
Cool.
Awesome.
Good for you.
It's March 12th and 13th.
Okay. March 12th and 13th.
Cool.
So everyone that's go check it out.
And you can find me at the Tucson Sisters in Crime booth.
Who did you murder?
Who do I know there? Who did I murder?
No.
I'm not telling. This is public radio.
This is perfect that we're going to
Sisters in Crime
after this.
I think it's so cool that Sisters in Crime, because we've met other people in different places and their members, and that I like Sisters in Crime.
Eva got us doing a series of every month doing the Tucson Sisters in Crime through 2021.
Yeah.
And
so cool.
We didn't know what we got ourselves into. And all I can tell you, it was amazing,
like it.
Fun interviews. You can find it all just bigblendradio.com. Go where you'll see them in all our magazines. But the last one. If you go to YouTube, Big Blend Radio YouTube, you'll see it. Mm-hmm. People came with their crime weapon. Elaine A. Powers. She comes in with her iguana. No kidding.
Yeah.
Paula comes in with a gun. There
I
were
watched
all
that,
kinds of
yeah.
instruments that people came in. I was like, holy cow. Like, we lived in Africa and had things with guns at our head, and I learned about limpet mines and bombs.
Eva had
and
poison
AK-47. Yeah, Eva had poison lipstick, and I was like, holy cow.
I watched it.
These women can take anybody out. So
yeah,
thank you for that, Eva.
Her.
And thank you for taking our mail, too.
Yes, thank you.
And
you
Eva, I need
you don't
more
have that
pickles.
Much. Oh, yeah.
I need more pickles, Eva.
Okay, you know where I live.
I want some relish.
Bye.
All right, cool. Everybody, here it is. Fiction Theater. We're going to play it now. Thank you all for joining us. Keep
thanks,
up with us
guys.
At BigBlendRadio.com.
Thank you.
Radio.com.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Theater.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Down and out, take the highest bidder. Under the blue.